Loving God,
may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. I needed that. Thank you. Been a tough week and stuff happening. I needed to know that God is good. I needed to know that I wasn't alone in feeling that. I needed that because I don't want to preach this sermon. I needed that. But we've already had awkward conversations, right? So, you know, I guess we can have another one. Because here's the truth. I really don't like that passage of Scripture from 1 Samuel that Barbara just read for us. Don't get me wrong. I love Scripture. And I love the song of Hannah that follows the story we just heard from Samuel. And I love the story of Samuel. It's a great story. And I love the idea of Hannah praying with such passion or desperation that Eli, watching her, assumed that she was drunk. Drunk people come to the temple. Man, I could preach that. No problem. But I don't want to preach this story. And it's not the cruelty of the story, the cruelty of a society in which Hannah is valued by her ability to give birth, so being infertile, she feels worthless, or the cruelty of Hannah's rival wife mocking her for not being able to conceive. No, what makes this so hard for me is that Hannah prayed and then was able to conceive. I have friends who would dearly love to have a child. Others who have been through every treatment imaginable, spent money, time, energy, and hope, only to find that it didn't happen. And this story is hurtful to them. It seems to say, if you just pray, it would all work out. Which is almost as infuriating as, just don't try so hard, stop worrying, it'll happen. No, sometimes it doesn't. And it hurts. And like Hannah, my friends begin to feel like failures. And I don't know what to say to them. You know, I honestly pray for peace almost every day. I do. I pray every day for peace. I pray for my enemies because Jesus told me to. And you know what? People are shot and killed in a synagogue or in a bar. And my friends to the right and my friends to the left yell at each other through me, and all I can hear is their pain. I pray like a drunk in temple, and horrors still continue. Wars are raged, forests aflame, hurricanes devastate, refugees are disconnected from all security and hope. I don't know what to say. It's great that in the Bible, prayers always seem to be answered. Hannah gets a baby. But in real life, it's not like that. I pray and still loved ones get Alzheimer's, and friends die. A lot of friends die. And I don't know what to say. Oh, God, help me. I've gone too far. I don't know what to say next. We know that prayer, don't we? The prayer that comes out in desperation, even before we know it, without our thinking, oh, God, no. Please, please, God. We know that prayer. Even those who don't believe in prayer, those who are non-theist, atheist, post-theist, beyond all of this-ist, moderate, right-thinking, rational people, in a desperate moment, a few years ago, I was talking to my hairstylist. Yes, this hair is a style. She is a remarkable woman. Mid-30s, hardworking, owns her own salon, actually two now, cuts the hair of celebrities, funky cool nobodies, and people like me. She has been through hard times. She has a great partner, two dogs, some of the best tattoo work I've ever seen. She was raised Roman Catholic in Quebec, but left it behind in her late teens and early 20s because it just didn't make sense in life as she was experiencing the world. Most of her friends would probably call themselves atheists, and she is not a churchgoer. But this is important because her faith in humanity was horribly shaken about 3 years ago when the shooting in Paris happened. You may remember. For most of us, there's been a moment like she experienced, you know, like a shooting, a disaster in a place that we recognize, a place that hits home. It just seems to hit us more than the others. For me, it was the van attack on Yonge Street. That's where I grew up. It just shook me. Well, so my friend told me that the morning after she heard about the shooting in Paris, she stood in the shower and she found herself talking quietly to herself in the shower, asking for peace and comfort for everyone in Paris, asking for an end to the violence and that people would be okay and that a better day would soon come. And she's cutting away at my hair, and I asked her why she did it. She said, I don't know, I didn't know what else to do. And I asked her gently, so were you talking to yourself? No, I don't think so. Maybe, no. See, my friend is not much different from most of us. We're modern, intelligent people. But we're also pretty sure that we're not talking to ourselves. But as we talked then, and as I have talked to many others since then, we agree that there is something special about these quiet conversations, these hopes or fears that we speak in the shower, or in the silence of our minds, or in the intimacy of a church. They have meaning, and we do it because deep down we know that they matter. It's just that we don't know how to describe it. We lack the words, and we don't want to seem like idiots, so we don't talk about it. But most of us do it. In so many similar conversations, my friends are very clear that they don't believe in a cosmic concierge who gets us what we ask for because we're on the right team, or we ask the right way, or we ask so often with so many people that we won over this service God and we get what we want. I think that many of us are afraid to talk about prayer because we don't want to endorse a partisan, petty God who works for us and not for others, who smiles upon Hannah but doesn't seem to care about Abigail. So, Norm, do you believe in prayer, or is it just something that you say to us when we share our concerns with you? I'll pray for you. No, it's not just something that I say. I do powerfully believe in prayer. I believe that it matters and that it makes a difference. Yeah, I learned about prayer from my parents. As a little boy, saying grace before dinner, prayers before bed, I told God what I had done that day, asked God to take care of the people that I knew and loved. And then in Sunday school and in church, that tradition continued. Years later, experiencing the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous with a loved one, I experienced prayer in a very real way. I met people, became dear friends with people who prayed like drunks in church, prayed for a new way of living, prayed out of their torment, prayed out of their need, prayed like their lives depended on it. And I saw prayers change lives, millions of them. Yeah, prayer works. I know that Jesus prayed and invites me to do the same, so I do it. I pray for help, and it arrives in a person who has what I lack in that instance. Or my eyes are open, and I discover that I don't need the solution that I thought. There's another perspective. I realize in that moment that death is not an enemy, that love is what matters, that life and love are hard but not defeated by hatred. Because God sent me a solution, or because I found another way within myself, I can't say either with provable certainty. But I know from experience that prayer works because it makes a difference in my life. It's the same way that I know that chocolate is good. I can't tell you why chocolate is good. Eat it. It's just really good. Makes me happy. I know that when I pray, things are different. Prayer works. Oh, God, I'm rambling now. Recognize that prayer? I pray that one a lot. I don't endorse the theology of the cosmic concierge who waits for me and asks, you know, waits for me to ask politely before doing my bidding. No. I do endorse a living God who dwells within me and throughout all of creation, and I'm in relationship with that living God. And in relationship, I find strength that I never thought I could have. I find peace that comes with the knowledge that it's not all about me. And I do find that miraculous things happen, sometimes in action, other times in revelation. You'll notice in the Hannah story, if you pay attention, that she negotiates with God. God, if you do this for me, give me a child, I will give you back that child. If you do this for me, I will do something for you. You recognize that prayer? Come on, sure you do. We all make that prayer sometimes, right? God, if I get through this, I promise I will never do it again. God, if I could just win the lottery, get that raise, find that job, get this thing I want so much, I promise I will give more money to the church. I'll go to church more often. I'll join a committee. I'll fix something. But I think there's something else going on with Hannah. See, it's not just a negotiation with a seemingly fickle despot. It's relationship. It's a back-and-forth engagement. It's authenticity, not hopeful piety. See, Hannah lived in a world where there's no such thing as a free lunch. Nobody ever gets something for nothing. Sound familiar? We know that world. She's a woman in society that values her first and foremost for her ability to produce children, which she cannot do. And so having no intrinsic value, being unworthy of consideration, never mind special consideration, she negotiates. She offers something of value. And notice that she believes she is of such little value that the one thing she has to offer doesn't even exist yet. A child yet to come. She is revealing to God who she thinks that she is in terms that are very real to her. Not who she hopes she will be or who she thinks will impress God. She is being honest, painfully honest. And that's the beginning of a real relationship. That's the essence of real prayer. This is who I am, God. I am not great. Parts of me, pretty fair. And other parts, you know. When I pray, I joke with God. I seriously do. Because that's who I am. And somehow, in the absurdity of humor, I feel authentic. God, remember, I'm the guy that prays for the Leafs and the Argos, like it'll make a difference. So you know, God, that I'm hopeful. Please help me be the minister my community needs. Help me be the husband that my wife needs. Help me make a positive difference in the lives of my children. Keep me from closing up and shutting down when things get to be too much. Let me be a source of hope in an angry and confused world. See, I'm in a real relationship with God, so there's no point in me trying to sound like the Pope or like Jason or like Daniel. I need to be me. And being me, I pray for my children and my wife. And I pray for my sports teams. I do. And I pray for California and Syria and millions of refugees and my siblings around the world who are afraid. And not necessarily in that order. Or under the impression that my children are more important than your children. Or that my wife is of greater value than women in Sudan. That's not it. I don't pray assuming that California is the only place on fire or in the midst of devastation. I pray for California. I pray for my wife. I pray because that's who I am right now. I am those worries. I am those pains. And if you want to know me, you need to know what's going on inside me. And in the midst of those concerns, I also give thanks. Because, you know, I got home yesterday and my wife had made potato and bacon soup. And we lit a fire and we watched a couple of episodes of Shetland on TV and fell asleep knowing that most of our Christmas shopping is already done. Wow. You see? I love my life. And if we're in a relationship, you should know that. And when I pray, I listen, because it's a relationship. I listen to the cosmic intoning. I listen to that still, quiet voice within, and it provokes me, it beckons me, invites me into new ways, new insights. I can feel my pettiness and my fears lifted in the light, and I let them go. I face my cowardice, and I dare to try. I experience my humanity and recognize it in Jesus. Paired with the divine in Jesus, I realize that we're not separate. We're together. Me and God. We're in relationship. I'm not alone. And in a relationship, I'm influenced by the other. I mean, I am who I am because of my wife. Let's not kid ourselves. And my children. And my friends. And all of you with whom I'm in relationship. And I'm influenced by God. I don't do everything my wife asks of me. I should, but I don't. I am not at my children's beck and call. But I love them. I ache for them. I hope for them. I let them into my life. I do so not... I do not do everything that you hope that I'll do, but I hear your worries. I hear your concerns. I smile at your joys. I rush to your side in times of grief and pain because we are in relationship. And I listen to God. Often I follow bravely. Sometimes I drag my feet. Occasionally I pretend that I didn't hear. But all of these relationships make me who I am. You get what I'm saying? But relationships are two-way. As I'm influenced by God, I do believe that God is influenced by me and by you. God does not do everything that we ask. God is not solely at our beck and call. But God loves us, aches for us, hopes for us, and lets us into God's life. God doesn't do everything that we ask of God, and God sometimes disappoints us. But God hears our concerns and our worries. Smiles at our joys, rushes to our side in times of grief or pain because we are in relationship. So we know that God is influenced by us. Right? In Jesus, we're promised the permanency of such a relationship. Right? We say Jesus is human and divine, now and forever, God and us, in relationship, always. Nothing can change that. So yeah, prayer matters. Prayer works, even if we don't know exactly how to talk about it. Thank God that's over. Amen.